Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, it is a Friday as we've made it to the end of the week here at Penny for Your Thoughts on this March 30th. Friday, our usually our favorite day of the week, and our favorite day of the month today is Flashback Friday. We'll do the third one of those coming up in the second hour today. We'll visit with you on a variety of topics in this first hour, as you heard the phone numbers there given by our man Gene Honda, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357, or email us talk at WDWS.com. We've reached the end of the week. Will it ever officially warm up? As Michael just mentioned, 51 degrees the high today. A year ago today, it was 67. And the record is 80 on this date. So I think the normal high is about 56. So we'll try to get it warmed up a little bit if we can throughout this Easter weekend. It is Good Friday today. We've got Easter. We've got Passover starting tonight. So a big weekend there as far as the religious holidays and observations as those go on here this weekend. All right, what else is going on? President Trump goes after Amazon on taxes. That was one of the headlines today. The new VA secretary facing some challenges. USA Today listed several of those. I think some of our callers hit on some of those yesterday as we talked about that. The citizenship question on the census. A U of I grad to head up the new Siebel Center for Design at the University of Illinois. Beer to be sold to the public at Illinois' baseball game on May the 4th. Of course, it was opening day for baseball yesterday. Really enjoyed the visit with Darren Fletcher as we kicked off opening day. And boy, the Cubs got off with a fast start, didn't they? With Ian Happ hitting the first pitch of the year in Major League Baseball. I think it was the first time since Dwight Evans did it back in the mid-80s for Boston, where the very first pitch of the season was hit for a home run. Cardinals started okay, but fell in their game. And the White Sox doubled up the Royals, double-digit run scoring for the White Sox in their first game. As the baseball season gets underway, and the Final Four is this weekend for the men and women. So lots of things happening here on this Easter weekend as we work our way to the end of March. All right, so what's on your mind here in this first hour? We'll have Flashback Friday in the second hour. We'll tell you what that will entail in the second hour today, but stay tuned for that. We'll get it started. We'll also have Today in History. This is a big day in history, by the way. You probably remember this day when it happened once we let you know about it. After this, we'll get it started on Penny on a Friday on DWS. Back on a Friday, Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, 910, 35 degrees. Hey, tax day is quickly approaching. The deadline to file is Tuesday, April 17th. You can avoid costly penalties, keep money in your pocket by contributing to retirement accounts by April 17th, organize your records. That's always a hard one for me to do, filing electronically to pocket your refund faster. They tell us the typical taxpayer receives nearly $3,000 in refunds. Use that money wisely, by the way, paying down bad debt, building savings, retirement, and investment accounts, or establishing or restoring an emergency fund might be the best thing to do with that. How can Busey help? Take advantage of My TurboTax at Busey. It's fast, easy, safe, and secure. Log on to Busey eBank, click on My TurboTax, and sign in. Tax laws are complex and change frequently. The experts at Busey can help before making investment and tax decisions. Visit Busey.com by one of their many convenient locations to get started today on your maximum refund. 356-9397 is the phone number today. And as always, Mike is with us. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I'd like to congratulate a Muhammad grad, Donnie Willard, who's a current head referee in the Big Ten right now. It's just named to NFL.
Really?
Yeah. I got a text from my son early this morning about it.
So he's going to work some NFL games starting this fall?
Yeah. Evidently.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told.
We've got a couple of, at least two or three, I think, local guys around, don't we, that are working in various refereeing or...
I think so.
Yeah,
it's capacity. Pretty neat.
Yeah,
you
well,
need, with all your power that you have, you need to tell them that they've got to have a rule, especially in basketball. They cannot go to the monitor and look at something for 5 to 10 minutes. It's getting crazy.
Need to put a clock on the monitor.
They have to.
Yeah.
They cannot keep looking at it over and over. It's nuts.
Yeah, I agree. It takes too long on some of this. It really does. And I'd be for limiting some of the reviews in baseball, too. I think those take too long.
Yep, you got it. But, well, Brian, you have a wonderful Easter.
Hey, thank you, Mike. 356-9397 is where Mike was to join us today. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357, or email us, talk@wdws.com. One of the things I've been wondering about, why is Easter on different dates? Why is that? Passover starts tonight as well. I think the tie-in with the different dates has to do with the lunar cycle, the lunar calendar, if you will. That's all part of it. All right, today in history also, we'll get to that during the course of the show this morning. There was a big event that occurred. I remember this very well. In fact, I know where I was exactly when this happened. We'll talk about that during the course of this first hour as well. 356-9397. Is how you can join us. We've got Joe up next, and I think I know who this is. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Brian?
Good. This is Joe Thomas, Dr. Joe Thomas, Assistant Professor of History of Christianity over at the Urbana Theological Seminary. And how are you doing today, Joe?
Doing great.
Yeah.
It's Good Friday. It's, you know, the best weekend of the year for Christians as we celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord.
Yes, it is, very much so. And it's always pretty much tied to Passover, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Jesus and his disciples got together. We celebrated on Thursday, the day before Good Friday, and got together to celebrate Passover. And, of course, this was expressing the imagery of the passing over of God, the angel of death, and the preserving of the life of the Jewish people when they were coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Passover starts at sundown tonight. Now, as far as the Easter dates, I was asking about, they're different every year. Why is that? Is it tied to the moon schedule, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but it's basically tied to the schedule of the full moon. And it's you know, I'll give you a technical answer. Easter Sunday is the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring around the March equinox. And so whenever that full moon happens, then the Easter date is set based on that. So instead of having an established date like Christmas, it fluctuates. So Easter can happen any time between March 22nd and April 25th. Mm-hmm.
Now, did the early church, how did they deal with celebrating the resurrection and Easter, if you will, and with Passover and all of that? How did they try to settle that, I guess, when to have it?
Yeah, well, as you might imagine, you know, as the church was growing in the first few centuries, different churches in different cities had different dates. And so it wasn't until the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD that they settled on this formula, which I just laid out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gave some uniformity to when to celebrate the Easter.
Mm-hmm. So when did all the different things tied with candy and we got the Easter bunny and all, was that wasn't part of it originally, right? That has kind of grown from different areas?
Well, you know, we can chalk that up to great commercialization of a holiday, opportunity to make some extra money and to celebrate it. I guess you might say in a more or a less religious way,
mm-hmm.
to kind of secularize the holiday, if
yeah.
you will.
I didn't know if that was connected somehow to the Romans, if there was some celebration they had or something back then.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
The You know, the church itself, of course, has very much tied this in to its calendar, so that we have Lent that this year started. The Advent season started February 14th, and for a time of reflection and a time to kind of think, about your relationship with God, and leading up to this climactic moment of the crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on Sunday.
Have you been over to the Holy Land, Joe? Do you go over there at all?
I haven't been there yet, but okay. Urbana Seminary actually just took a trip led by Dr. Ken Cuffey, who is our professor of Old Testament, and they just did a great trip of the Holy Land, and I just spoke with him actually a couple days ago about the trip.
I'm just wondering, because I know a lot of the sites of people that have been to the Holy Land, I know maybe they can approximate where all of the different, the Via Dolorosa, the Golgotha, all the different places, can they approximate it? Do they actually know where all these sites are? And obviously in Israel, that's, there's a lot of politics, a lot of different things connected to all those.
Yes, there is. Yeah, I think we have a pretty decent idea. It's hard to say with absolute certainty, if we have all the sites exactly right. But, the most famous one is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which this church encompasses both the place where Jesus was crucified, which in terms of that place, that space, there's a large degree of certainty about that. It also encompasses the Holy Sepulchre Church, the tomb of where Jesus was born. I'm sorry, where he was laid to rest. And this one has a little more, disagreement, but that's a very, very common site for pilgrims who travel over to Israel to go to, and you can get a good sense there. And, of course, in places around Israel where we know Jesus' ministry was, and where he walked, where he taught, where he performed his miracles, there's a great deal of certainty in certain areas, yes.
Dr. Joe Thomas with us here a couple of minutes, Urbana Theological Seminary, Assistant Professor of History of Christianity. And obviously with the temple, the Wailing Wall, the Temple Mount, you've got a mosque there. That all is tied, of course, into the Mideast politics of that region.
Yes, it is, and it has made it very complicated. Even the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is overseen by different church traditions and denominations, ranging from different Orthodox churches to Catholic churches. So, unfortunately, when you start talking about Jerusalem and the Middle East, politics, comes into play. Of course, it's the birthplace of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and so all those three monotheistic religions all make claim to certain sites, some of them the same sites, and of course some of them different sites, but they have a tendency to butt up against each other or sometimes even overlap.
Yeah. Got a text in, Joe. It says, and I know the answer to this, but you can ask Joe why it's called Good Friday. Seems to me it's not a pretty, not a good day, but in the sense of what was done and what happened to Christ, the crucifixion, it was good in the end, but not a happy day at the time.
Yeah, that's really a great, great question. I think if you understand the full reach of the biblical message, you come to understand why it's called Good Friday, in the sense that Jesus himself took on the sins of the world on the cross and became the ultimate sacrifice, creating a way between man and God to know each other. If you read the gospel accounts, it's amazing the events that are happening that day. But one of the most amazing is that within the temple itself, the gospel accounts report that the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was split in two. And that signified that with the death of Christ, there was no longer this separation between God and man, but now a way had been made. And so to think of it as Good Friday is to think of it as now a new pathway, the pathway to God opened up for all humans around the world.
Well, Joe, how long have you been at the seminary now?
Been there since 09. So what is that? I'm coming up on 9 years now at Urbana Seminary and been teaching for about 30 years at this point.
Yeah. And I know have you written a book or two along the way?
Yeah. I published a book a couple of years ago called Perfect Harmony, dealing with a group of churches during the Jim Crow era, the time of segregationism in America, who were interracial churches. And so I was just really fascinated to know why were these churches practicing interracial fellowship, crossing boundaries of race and ethnicity, even nationality, and other churches were not. And so the book is really an attempt to answer one question, and the question is, how are this group of Christians, how are they reading the Bible differently? How did they get to the place of being able to come to social pressure and views of separation of the races? And so it's really a fascinating study, and I think it's pretty good read if I don't.
Yeah.
Think so.
And what was the name of it again, Joe?
It's called Perfect Harmony.
Perfect
Harmony.
You
can actually find it on Amazon.com. Just put in Perfect Harmony and Joseph Thomas, and it'll pop up for you. And it's a short little book. It's about 130 pages. So it's written not only for those who want to go deep on the issue, but it's written in a way so everyone can follow along and understand the story.
Well, Joe, it's been great to have you on. Keep up the great work over at the Urbana Theological Seminary. And it's been a long time since we were in high school.
That's right. Probably your listeners probably don't know that we graduated together in 1982 from Unity High School.
That's right. Boy, that's getting to be a long time ago now.
Well, you know, I've seen pictures of you, and you're aging well, so congratulations on that.
Hey, Joe, great to catch up. Thanks again. We'll talk again sometime.
Okay, great.
Appreciate it.
Good Friday and happy Easter.
Yes, you too. Thank you. Bye. That is Dr. Joe Thomas, Assistant Professor of History of Christianity, Urbana Theological Seminary, and a 1982 graduate of Unity High School. With me. How about that? 9:24. We'll come back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. 9:27 here at DWS. Appreciate Dr. Joe Thomas coming on with us for a couple minutes here on this Good Friday. Passover starts this evening at sundown. By the way, if you're needing some roof repair and maybe the winter exposed some roof damage you need to get repaired, Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, will help with small repairs. They'll help save your roof. They'll do that even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof. They're happy to come out and fix any problems. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, provides services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. You can get a free estimate at 217-355-ROOF, 217-355-7663. Corey's a graduate from Rantoul High School, the University of Illinois. Truly a family-owned business. It's operated by Corey and his wife, Melissa. He's a hands-on owner. And I can tell you, they did some work for me a few years ago. Checked on some things for me, and I mean, he'll do a thorough job, and he'll not try to sell you something you don't need. I mean, he'll look at it and say, hey, you got more time, you may want to think about this in a year or two. But I think it's just really great how he deals with people one-on-one. So check out Corey Swanson, Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, 355-7663. 3569397 is the number. We are just rolling along here in this first hour. Flashback Friday in hour number two to close out the month. And let's go to Zoe. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Brian. I just want to mention real quick, the maybe it was mentioned, but the eggs and the bunnies go back to the fertility religions and the goddess Ishtarte or Ishtar, and that was an attempt to blend Babylonian and Roman religions with Christianity so that, you know.
Yep, I got a, in fact, that's kind of what I thought, and we had a texter that agrees with you, Zoe. It says absolutely spot on, pagan worship of the fertility goddess Ishtar, hence Easter and eggs is what this texter said.
Right. So, and the other thing is, I haven't found a dog yet, and I really, really, really want to, female housebroken border collie or poodle-y kind of dog or something, or collie. I'm just desperate. And anyway, I appreciate you letting me talk about my number. 356-0335. Right. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Say it again, Zoe.
356-0335.
Mm-hmm. Right. Looking for a small dog?
Yes, kind of small. Not
okay.
Too.
And you told me once, was it female you were looking for?
Yeah, female and housebroken. Housebroken is my big thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Brian.
All right, thank you, Zoe.
Bye.
9:29 here at DWS. Final Four this weekend. Who are you picking? Loyola? I don't know what – I'm a Big Ten guy. I know that – I know, obviously, I have friends at Michigan that work, do the radio broadcast. I've gotten to know John Beilein a little bit. I respect him a ton. It's just hard for me to root for Michigan. I don't know. I just can't – it's growing up here, I guess, and rooting against Michigan. So I guess I want Loyola to win. But I guess if the Big Ten wins it and Beilein gets in the final again, I'm okay with that. Anyway, that's where I'm torn. And then, of course, you got Kansas and Bill Self. That kind of cuts both ways. I like Bill personally. Got along with him great. Enjoyed being around him the short time while he was the coach. That's when I started doing the games. He was still the coach at the time. But then I also like Jay Wright. I like Villanova. So I'm kind of happy no matter who wins, I think, this weekend. And, of course, the women have their Final Four, top four seeds all in for just the hour. And a little news from the U of I. We'll talk about this maybe in the next half hour. Beer to be sold to the public at the Illinois baseball game on May 4th with the Bleacher Bum and Barbecue event they usually do that draws a big crowd. And we'll talk some of the details on that in the next half hour. Whatever else is on your mind, then Flashback Friday at 10. 9:31. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts after the news.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts on a Friday. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the telephone. Texas, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357. Email us talk at wdws.com. We'll do our Flashback Friday, the last hour, the last Friday of the month. We just kind of let our hair down and just have some fun. And we'll tell you what the topic will be today. And you can send your text, emails, and phone calls in as quickly as you would like. Once we start the top of the next hour. On Monday, we'll have our last Monday morning quarterback show. We try to do that between the football and basketball seasons. Of course, the Illini basketball season was done about a month ago at the Big Ten tournament. So we've been talking various things with the NCAA tournament and baseball and so forth. But we'll wrap it up on Monday. Gene Honda is going to join us. Gene is the gentleman who does the public address for the Final Four itself. He'll be there Saturday and Monday. We'll get a you're looking live, I guess, on the spot report from Gene Honda on Monday, and also talk about a special event coming up to benefit Allerton Park. I think you'll like it. It's sports related on Monday. And then after that Monday, next Monday on the 9th, the following Monday, we will go back to regular programming for a few months on the regular schedule. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. By the way, today in history, just some notes on this day. You know how I like history. March 30th. Birthdays today. Warren Beatty is 81. Eric Clapton, Hall of Fame rock and blues singer, guitarist, is 73. Remember actor, comedian Paul Reiser, Mad About You? He's 61. Today. And this day in 1981, I remember where I was. I was in chemistry class at Unity High School. I think it was Ms. Ambule, I think was the teacher's name, when this story broke, March 30, 1981.
When Ronald Reagan was elected president in November 1980, he hoped to defy an unusually grim circumstance of that office. In the seven previous even-numbered decades, every U.S. president had died in office, four times from assassin's bullets. A few months later, on March 30, 1981, as President Reagan strolled outside the Washington Hilton Hotel, he nearly met the same fate.
Here is a news bulletin from the RKO Radio Network. This just in, shots have reportedly been fired as President Reagan left the Washington Hilton Hotel this afternoon. White House officials say the president was not hit, but there are reports that three people were wounded by gunfire. Correspondent Joe Ewalt was there when the shooting happened.
It was a quick series of explosions sounding like firecrackers. At that moment, President Reagan was getting in his limousine. He was pushed on into the back seat by one of the Secret Service agents. Right after that, there was a scuffle. Agents and policemen swarming around the man with a gun. They surged back toward where I was standing near one of the doors of the hotel. They quickly subdued him, wrestled him to the ground, and then put him in a police car. I looked back toward where the president had been. There were three men lying on the ground. You could see them bleeding.
Reagan was shot by a young man named John Hinckley Jr., who'd become obsessed by movie actress Jodie Foster and had imagined that she would be impressed if he murdered the president. Opening fire with a .22 caliber pistol, he wounded a local police officer, a Secret Service agent, and most seriously, Reagan's press secretary, James Brady. Later that afternoon, all three major networks even reported that Brady had died.
A report that the White House news secretary is dead. The president survives an assassination attempt. I'm Bob Morrison. That report, however, denied by the White House.
As far as the report about Jim Brady, it is untrue. And he is in serious condition.
And that is Larry Speaks, the deputy news secretary, denying reports that said James Brady, the White House news secretary, was dead following an assassination attempt today. President Reagan remains in surgery at a Washington, D.C. hospital, George Washington University Hospital.
But James Brady survived his wounds. So did President Reagan, who impressed the nation with his grace and humor while recovering in the hospital, and who went on to serve two full terms as president. John Hinckley successfully argued an insanity plea and was immediately remanded to a high-security psychiatric hospital for an indeterminate term. James Brady suffered brain damage due to the gunshot wound he sustained to the head. He and his wife went on to successfully lobby for legislation that severely restricts the access and use of the type of handguns that had nearly cost him his life.
So there you go, March 30, 1981. On this day in history. This day, by the way, 1993, the comic strip character Charlie Brown finally became a hero after 43 years. He hit a home run, and his baseball team won for the first time. So that's on this day in 1993. So there's a bit of a today in history note for you. The president, in a speech yesterday, attacking Amazon, saying it does not pay enough taxes. He said in an early morning tweet yesterday that the online retail giant does not pay enough taxes, strongly suggesting he may use the power of his office to rein in the nation's largest e-commerce business. Mr. Trump accused Amazon, one of the country's most recognizable and successful brands, of putting thousands of local retailers out of business, said the company was using the United States Postal Service as its, quote, delivery boy. The president's lashed out publicly against the giant company and its chief executive, Jeff Bezos, on Twitter more than a dozen times since 2015. And privately, people close to him say Mr. Trump repeatedly brings up his disdain for the company, often set off by his anger at negative stories in the Washington Post, which is owned by Mr. Bezos. The president has little clear authority to take action against the company. Some Amazon critics have suggested antitrust actions against the company, but the moves would need to come from the Independent Federal Trade Commission or the Justice Department. And this article goes on to say, the New York Times, by focusing on the threat to small businesses, Mr. Trump had touched on the unease of Amazon's disruptive force. The company's changed industries as varied as publishing, groceries, and healthcare. That has helped the company grow to be more than $700 billion, but it's also made it a convenient target. Now, you make that kind of money, you're an easy target. But I know a lot of people use Amazon, and that obviously has drawn the attention of the president. So that was part of the news cycle yesterday. And then yesterday we touched on a little bit with the veterans, six big things the new Veterans Affairs chief needs to address. And among those, veterans are still waiting, quality of care, bureaucratic breakdowns, vetting failures, hiding shoddy care, and politics. Those are the six things USA Today lists as challenges for the new Veterans Affairs chief. David Shulkin, of course, let go by the president here in the last couple of days. All right, any thoughts on those? Something else you want to bring up? We talked about Easter a little bit and Passover and the history of all of that with Joe Thomas a little bit earlier. Got a text from Julie, says, wait, was that the Joe Thomas that was in our 82 class at Unity? Yes, it is. Still is. And Benny says, root for Kansas and Loyola. I want my Jayhawks to win it all. Well, good luck. 943 here at DWS. We'll take a break. Back with more phone calls, emails, and text up till the top of the hour. CBS News, local news, and then we'll have our Flashback Friday as we close out the month of March. Back after this. Hey, everybody knows Mike Namoff. For 30 years, Big Mike's been a major presence in East Central Illinois and beyond. He's had his successful businesses, This Is It Furniture, recently joining forces, though, with a new store called Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop. And you won't find a store like this anywhere. Not in town, not in Central Illinois, not in the Midwest. It is fantastic, the selection of mattresses and pillows, and they want to get you the best sleep possible. But it's a combination now. This Is It Furniture, of course, has been at the Country Fair Shopping Center there, Springfield and Mattis. Now Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop right next door. When you walk into Snooze, you'll find many luxury items, adjustable bed frames for your lifestyle, carbon cool pillows. Got the easy and free analysis done by their Reveal machine that'll tell you where your pressure points are. So check all of that out, of course, with the folks there, Mike Namoff and Company. This Is It Furniture and Snooze. Country Fair Shopping Center, Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Mike, I know, has done great work with us at the Kiwanis Tom Jones Challenger League. He helps us every year with our All-Star game and has been a very big supporter, so we appreciate him. But Mike Namoff and the folks at This Is It Furniture and Snooze in Champaign, one of our proud sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. 947 here at DWS. And let's see here. Let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Tiny. Hey, Tiny, good morning.
Good morning. Brian, I want to criticize you a little. Will you allow it?
Oh, sure.
Huh?
Yeah. Give it to me.
Brian, Brian, you got the greatest personality in the world. I never lie to anybody. I like, on Penny for Your Thoughts, I like the me talking to you and it says Penny for Your Thoughts. I like that very much. I do not like for a 50-year-old program that's been very, very successful to be changed with interviews. We haven't had hardly any time. We can't get anything started because of your interviews, Brian.
So you think we got too many, huh?
That's the way. Excuse me.
You got too many?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Brian.
Yeah.
I don't take any pleasure. Listen, Brian. I could call a company and whine and squall to the guy that runs the place, but I want to do it to you, and I can't find you, so, and I don't want to shame you on the air because I'm going to tell you again, you probably are as good an announcer on football and basketball, and I love to have the thought of you coming on Penny for Your Thoughts, but I don't like what you're doing about these interviews. For example, yesterday, the baseball interview. That guy's my hero. He's one of the great ball players that ever come from around here. He's a great Illinois ball player. But let Jim Lauren Tate interview him. Penny for Your Thoughts is a precious thing in this community.
Mm-hmm.
We solved a lot of problems with Penny for Your Thoughts. I don't think you're getting any calls because you're not allowing any dialogue to happen. When people come on, like the preacher this morning, and it's a wonderful time to have him on. It's Easter, and everything I'm saying is against mom and pop, but I'm trying to give you examples. We didn't have hardly any time for the first half hour.
Well, Brian, I understand that, but I've got a half hour here. I've had an hour here and there, during the course of the week. So just trying to, mix it up a little bit, be current, have some current guests on that tie in like we did today with Easter.
Why would you change a 50-year-old program?
Well, I'm not trying to change it.
Well, I think
there's different approaches. Yeah, well, there's different approaches, but I don't, I said at the beginning, the heart of the show is, you know, the listener, communicating with us. So, but I do think that some topics get beat into the ground. I mean, there's only so much you can say about President Trump, and I don't want to hear the same arguments day after day all the time. That's just me. So,
no, you told me what you like. I told you what I like.
Well, there
I'm
we
sorry,
go.
Brian, I told you before, I take no pleasure in this. I just want to tell you what I like. It's a one. I like love Penny for Your Thoughts. I love to hear guys call in. I like Black John. He don't agree with me, but he's a great American. I like to hear him talk. I like to hear Henry talk. There's several guys that Eric. There's one of the Erics that calls in. There's some guys that call in here that are really really sharp.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I like to hear.
Yeah, I think we hear from them. Maybe not every day, but we hear from them frequently. So.
Yeah, you're not giving us a shout at it. We're not getting any dialogue going.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
all right. Thanks,
Brian.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Hey, that's okay.
I'm going to tell you again. I was tickled to death to hear you come on, and I still am, and I'm just trying to, if I put my word in, I will. Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you, Tiny. Hey, this is a very subjective business, so I understand that. Hey, it's like a buffet. You can, there are certain things people like and certain things other people don't like. So, but I understand the history of the show. I think it's, Jim over the years kind of tweaked it different ways that he liked to do it. And I've got my own approach, and I still think that this is a terrific historical program that has been done pretty much the same way, but not always in the same style. So, I understand the history of it. I grew up listening to it. So I kind of know what it's been about, and I know what I like to do, and I'm, just trying to merge the two a little bit. And, we've been at it, 3 months? So, and I'm still working on it. I still think of things, maybe that works, maybe that doesn't work. So that's all part of the process. Good thing is I'm not performing brain surgery and I'm not experimenting that way. I'm just working on different ideas as I go along. So, but I appreciate that, Tiny. Thank you very much for giving me a call. Let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Well, good morning, Brian. What a wonderful call to follow, because Tiny had one point that I would say, there are times when you have somebody on and I just walk away from the radio and go down to the basement and do stuff. But I can't tell you how my heart thrilled at hearing a significant radio personality, yourself, engage in a religious discussion with a pastor. It just blew me away. It lifted me. And I wanted to call in and say that there's one person who calls in that a lot of us don't agree with, and we would like to have his calls limited. Mm-hmm. His name is Stan. He was advocating socialism, and there are many things that the Bible doesn't address, but it does address our system of we'll call it the economy. Jesus in Matthew 25 and also Luke 19 spoke about three men who received an investment. They were called minas. And he said in the parable, he says, do business with these. And the one who did the most capital gain actually got the one mina that the one guy wouldn't invest. And so Jesus clearly was a capitalist. And I think this is interesting in that it was in contrast with what his cousin John the Baptist taught. John was kind of a socialist. He said, if you got two shirts, give one of them to him who has none. Well, that's socialism. But I really appreciate the forum that we have, Brian, and your level of comfort with a call like mine. And I'm somewhat surprised that Tiny didn't recognize me as one of the more notable callers, articulate, informed, blah, blah, blah. But, Brian, stay on course. I think it's a great improvement to the show from 9 to 11.
Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate you calling in today. Good to hear from you. All right, a text from Bill. He says, interview, start conversations. It's refreshing to hear someone that isn't the everyday same topic comments. All right, and let's go back to the phones here. Justin. Hey, Justin, good morning. How are you?
Hey. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I got just two quick things. I'm a Ebertfest goer, and I was found it kind of curious. The individual tickets are going on sale Monday, and we still don't have a schedule announced. I know they've announced a handful of movies, but I didn't know. I know if you knew something, you'd probably talk about it, but if anybody out there had any idea what was going on, be interested to hear about that.
Yeah, okay. I'll check into that. I know they released some of what, you know, who's in town and the movies. I don't know if they put the times with them or not. That's what I don't know. But
No, they haven't. I think there's maybe five or six movies, which usually the slate should be, I think, close, you know, over 10, close to 15. So
right.
I know there should be a few more announcements coming. But anyways, I know what you shared, what you know about that. On another note, I was recently traveling for work. I was in North Carolina. I like to tour college campuses. And I was near Chapel Hill, so I stopped in to check out UNC for the first time. And I picked up the student paper, because the cover story was a story about Woody Durham and his passing. And I know you'd mentioned that he was a guy you liked. So when I get a chance, I'm going to drop a copy off. I picked up a copy for you. I'll drop it off at the newsroom.
Absolutely. Yeah, do that. Feel free to do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for the phone call. 9:56, and we're still at 39 degrees here at DWS. Let's go to Danny. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Just one call here. Keep up the good work. Don't change anything. You're a refreshing change to Mr. Turpin.
Well,
and that's all I got.
Okay. Well, thank you, Danny. Appreciate it. As I said earlier, you know, hey, you know, Larry Stewart did the show one way. I know when Jim used to tell me, he said when he first took over, Penny for Your Thoughts, people would tell him, well, Larry didn't do that. Well, how come you're doing it this way? And then Jim, over the years, developed his style and approach. And as I listened, and I've done talk radio in different markets in Oklahoma City and smaller markets like that over the years, and just you try different things, and you think, yeah, that may work. I don't know if that works. And then kind of what you like to hear and what you like to do, and you kind of bring your own, you know, everybody's got their own DNA and style and approach to things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people, like I said, it's a very subjective business. So I'm certainly open to any suggestions or, you know, ideas, and I don't take it personally. So, hey, Brian, how are you?
Very good, Brian. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I don't think people realize how close we came to losing President Reagan back in 81. The doctors that worked on him had just come back from Vietnam, and they were used to working on trauma patients, so that was a plus. And they got him in the ER, and he lost like 50% of his blood. And for a 70-year-old man, that was a huge chunk, so... And also, a bullet came very close to vital organ. So he was very close to being killed right then.
Yes, he was. Yeah, that
lost
was
a lot of weight too. I think he lost 40 or 50 pounds.
Yeah, and the Secret Service officer too. That was a Illinois connection, right? Former Illinois football player. Yeah. Was it?
The old defensive back.
Yeah. Was it McCarthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came back to some football games, you know, and. Got a standing O.
Oh, sure.
Because he threw himself in the line of fire. I mean, that's what those guys do.
Absolutely.
They take the bullet.
It's instinctive, I know, on their part.
That's what they're trained to do.
That's
you
right.
know, lose them rather than the president. So I just want people to realize that was a close call there, and how much different the country would have been if it happened.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Good to hear from you, Brian. All right, 9:59. CJ says there's been an increase in sports talk, but I grin and bear it, says CJ. Well, we've had a little more, but I think part of that is the Monday morning quarterbacks. That'll change a little bit when we get back to the regular schedule there. All right, appreciate all the phone calls, emails, and texts. Thank you so much for your input. Flashback Friday is coming up next. We'll have some fun with that to close out the week on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Made it to hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts. This is the last Friday of the month, the last hour of the last Friday. We started this in January. We'll do it 12 times during the year, obviously. And this is our Flashback Friday. So we will take your phone calls at 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us at talk at WDWS. All right, in the studio with me to kind of be the fire starters here, are Mike Goble from News Gazette Media. What do you do here, Mike?
I am the design editor.
Okay. And the headline writer, too?
Headline writer.
Do some of that?
Put the pages together, yep.
All right. Karen York, we know what you do. You run this place, right?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, and of course, Elizabeth Hess. Now, what we're doing this morning, we want to look back on our Flashback Friday, your favorite toy or game growing up, because we just had Toys R Us, the big news about Toys R Us. That they're in deep trouble. Somebody was looking to try to buy them or whatever. That's part of it. And then Easter coming up, there's some toys and candy and different things that are given away as well on Easter. So we'll let the ladies go first. Karen, your favorite toy or game growing up?
Yes. I give the older toys. my favorite, which I still have, is a doll. Her name is Kissy. Mm-hmm. I got her when I was probably 5 or 6. It's when we moved from Urbana to Champaign to the house that I grew up in. So it was a great gift to get at Christmas time because it was such a big deal because we had moved and everything. And so for whatever reason, through all the move of my life, you know, the doll just stayed with me. So now I have it, and no, my grandchildren are not allowed to touch it because it's so old. It's not fragile. I mean, it's still in great shape after several years.
All right.
And as far as games, yeah. I'd have to say Mystery Date. Mm-hmm. I know that they came up with a new version later, but that was a huge thing when I was probably a teenager, mm-hmm. to have a Mystery Date game.
Okay. And these can be board games. They can be any other type of games that you remember. All right, from then. All right, Elizabeth?
I'm going to have to go Light Bright. It was Light Bright. A present we got one December, and it was something that unified my sister and me. She wouldn't let me play with her. I was the, you know, dorky younger sister. But once Light Bright came in the house, we were collaborative. She wanted my help, and it was just, I don't know, it lit up a room. It was my favorite.
She went on to be a doctor, right?
She did. Yeah. And so we also played Operation a lot when we were little, and I was terrible at that, so that speaks volumes.
Okay.
Also like Clue, though, by the way.
You like Clue?
Clue was another favorite board game.
With the knife in the library.
In the observatory.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
With Professor Plum.
I always wanted to be Miss Scarlet. Wasn't that her name?
Yep, Miss Scarlet.
Professor Plum.
Yeah.
Colonel Mustard.
Yep.
Mrs.
Yep.
Peacock.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Mrs. White.
Look at that.
There's two examples. We've heard from the ladies. All right, Mike?
You know, my family, we were into board games, so Monopoly, you know, one that really, when you asked me the question, was Mousetrap. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember Mousetrap.
It was like a Rube Goldberg puzzle to mm-hmm. get all the pieces put together and then try to catch the mouse at the end. But, you know, even just a deck of cards from War to, you know, Euchre.
Gin Rummy.
Spades. Mm-hmm.
Old Man.
Rummy.
Old Man.
Yeah, you liked all of those.
We still play. I have 4 kids. And we still play a ridiculous number of board games in our house. So that was huge for us. I mean, just all of us together playing board games. I'm the oldest of 5, so there was a lot of board game playing going on.
One of my favorites growing up, early on, and there's newer versions of it, but was Pit, where you're trading grains or, you know, like you're on the stock market.
I never knew what that was.
I don't know what that is
that's
either.
Fun. Oh, that's fun.
I always knew that what Pit, but I never played it.
Yeah,
so.
the more people, better, the better.
What about Atari, Brian? Were you the age of Atari as well? Donkey Kong, Frogger?
We had Pong.
Pong, yeah. Sure.
I can remember getting an Atari when I was, 10, 11 years old.
Okay.
And that was, amazing.
I mean, the graphics then, when you look at them, that was the early version of what we have now.
So there you go. There are examples of what we're looking for. So 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Any of those will work. Any examples like that, if you still have them, that's even better. Or if you're thinking of your grandkids now, what they like to play with. They play a lot of it on their phone. But.
Right, but I kept my kids all their Fisher-Price. Okay. So it's the barn and the garage and the zoo and the... all of those things. So,
that's timeless.
And I still have the little people that are now.
They're old.
Yeah.
You're not old. The pieces are old.
They are old, but now they've been replaced with the bigger ones, so they don't put them in their mouth. And I guess
very good.
And all Weebles. Right. Don't forget Weebles.
Weebles
by the way.
Wobble, but they don't fall down. That's right. See how that sticks in your head. All right. Thank you, folks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, very good. Yes, you are dismissed. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll get it started after this. Time out on Penny. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. Hey, today is Friday, and Steve and Pam Starwall can get you lined up with Damian Spencer at Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal. He's worked with Steve and Pam Starwall at Keller Williams for 10 years. He's been in the mortgage lending business for over 20 years. And say today is Friday. It's Good Friday, and maybe there's some homes out there you want to look at. You say, I don't even know what I could afford. Well, he can give you that answer today. So contact Damian at Fisher National Bank. They can process the information, find out what you need to know about how much of a home can you afford. Do you need to downsize? Do you need more room? What can you do? How much can you be pre-approved for along the way? When you need help transitioning from one home to another, whether downsizing or going the other way, Fisher National Bank, locations in Champaign, Muhammad, and Fisher. But Damian Spencer is the man at Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal. Steve and Pam Starwell, they've worked with him for many, many years. For 10 years, he's been in that business for a couple of decades. 239-7156, area code 217. Any questions you have, contact Steve and Pam Starwell. They'll get you lined up with Damian Spencer at Fisher National Bank. All right, got some texts in. Some are left over from the last hour. I'll just kind of zip through them here. And then we'll get on with our Flashback Friday, our Flashback Friday segment. Today is about favorite toys or games growing up or that you have now or things you really remember having in your possession that you played a lot or you enjoyed. It says, Uncle Will Wilbur was your best call you've ever had. I hope to hear from him again. That's a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Text line, don't listen to Tiny. He tried to tell Jim how to run his show. Jim didn't listen to him. Hope you don't either. Tiny was talking about some of the guests we've had, or maybe we've had too many guests or whatever, and that's fine. I take all input. That was left over from the last hour. Okay, email. Favorite toy, electric football, was sold by Sears. You had to buy all the teams separately as a division. They sold them pre-painted in home and away uniforms. That was the early 70s before video football took over. I still have two boards and a lot of the teams. That is from Jeff, all right? I remember the electric football. I never could get them to run the right way. They had those little brushes at the bottom on their feet, and I never could keep them straight to where they would go in the right direction. And then you had that little magnet with the quarterback that you could try to use to flip to throw it. That never seemed to work either. Let's go back to the phones. And Eric, hi, Eric. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Let's take the Mattel Thingmaker, which you pour this liquid plastic in there and then you cook it. I don't think you could have kids using it today. It had a heat element. It'd probably burn the house down, some of them. That's one. And any of the Matchbox cars were great. And then that one moved into Hot Wheels. And then the Cox boys made some really nice gas-powered cars, and I had a dune buggy, and I liked that a lot. And then, of course, the HO car racing set. That's pretty much the window to my youth.
So with the match, the Hot Wheels, did you have the whole track and everything, the loop-de-doo?
Yeah, I had the loop-de-loop. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had the supercharger, which if you had a track, it would go in there and it would push the car with some kind of wheels inside there and it would fling it. And, you know, you could have side-by-side racing like with my brother and whatnot. So it was good.
Did you win?
Well, some of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, because then the cars would start to wear out, and maybe they'd get a hair in the wheels or something. That things would slow them down, so you always try to get your best car on if you could, you know.
Yeah, and the wheels would get bent if you weren't careful.
So. That happened also.
Yes. Thank you, Eric.
And then, okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead. If you got one more, go ahead.
Oh, well, anybody that would love to build models, you know, from Mondlane, Lavelle, you know, Tester Cement, those days. And then you build them and roll them down the hill and blow them up with a firecracker sometimes. I mean, they were pretty wild guys back in the day.
And what were they again? And
the models that you build, plastic models.
Oh, the plastic models. Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Those were terrific.
I mean, the Monogram, Revell, and the AMT, those were the big hitters back in the day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric.
All right, take care.
All right, to Jane texts in. Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, good morning, I still have the Game Pong. You still have it. CJ texts in, says, favorite toy, shovels. Love digging holes. And a board game called Easy Money. All right, there's a couple of new to the list. Back to the phones to Richard. Good morning.
Well, good morning again, Brian. Hey, before I tell you my favorite game, she may have left the studio, but you should have Elizabeth Hess on, so some of those guys who listen to her and Gen 3 in the morning can ask her some pertinent questions. But I grew up in a large family. I had an older sister and then five sisters after me, and I was way too competitive for them. We had the usual checkers, Parcheesi.
Yeah.
Monopoly, I had to modify Monopoly to suit my taste because I didn't think $200 for passing go was enough with all the real estate options before you. So I made that $1,000, and you could do some serious capitalization. But the game that fascinated me the most, and checkers is an offshoot of it, was chess. When I found a game that there was absolutely no luck involved, that everything was laid out, you could see, you could try to figure out your opponent's strategy, it's a game I fell in love with and still love it.
I used to like backgammon a lot. I thought that was pretty cool. You've played that, right?
I like cards, too. A guy mentioned euchre. I learned to play bridge. But
very good. Thank you, Richard.
Go ahead. Yeah, bye.
Appreciate it. 356-9397. We're on our Flashback Friday. This is the third one, last hour, the last Friday of the month, just for fun. And we're talking about toys today, old toys from your childhood, games you really enjoyed. Got an email from Chris. He says, hey, my mom worked for a TV store in Villa Grove back around 1970. Magnavox came out with the Odyssey system. You actually had a piece of plastic with a white line on it and would stick to the TV screen. Giant controller console with two pegs on it. One dot went back and forth to play tennis. Amazing how easy it was to satisfy us back then. Well, that's kind of similar to Pong, right? With the one dot going back and forth. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Or email us at talk@wdws.com. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts here. We'll take another quick break. We've got news headlines at the bottom of the hour. Keep the texts and emails and phone calls rolling in. We'll get to as many as we can here in this hour. Last Monday morning quarterback is Monday on the morning of the national championship game. And we've got some good guests coming up next week and open line time as well next week during the show. We'll come back with more after this. Penny for Your Thoughts continues here on News Talk 1400 DWS. We're doing our Flashback Friday today. Toys, games from the past that you remember playing with or you really enjoyed. I loved, we had a Lincoln Log set, and I love those. And I love I think the roofs were like green. It was like green wood. on the Lincoln Logs with the wooden logs that you hook together. I really like that. And nothing like a fresh, nice bin of Tinker Toys, right? Dump those things out. They smelled nice. I think they smelled nice. But all the things you could do with that. There are a couple of my favorites anyway. Back to the phones here. Pat joins us this morning. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Well, I go back a little bit farther than some of you guys. It was Marbles and Jacks.
Marbles and Jacks.
Tournaments and Jack tournaments and what have you in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an older brother that didn't like noise, and we'd play Jacks on the kitchen table. And he wanted us to quit. We got money to quit. So if we wanted some money to spend, we always got our Jacks out and started playing so we could get money to spend from our older brother.
My grandmother used to play with my grandmother with Jacks, you know, bouncing the ball and pulling up the Jacks. And yeah. I guess what she used to do was, she told me, and she grew up in a big family, they would make their own games. I mean, you know, like out of paper or whatever, create their own, you know.
A gift that I got for birthday one year was a little record player, and the records were paper made with plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've treasured them forever. They were just something special to me. But you can have a good day, and I enjoy your program and you, Brian.
Well, thank you, Pat. Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, I love to play hopscotch. Yeah, we all did that. And the favorite doll was Tiny Tears. Tiny Tears. All right, we've got some more. Also a text from Julie says, yes, backgammon. Yeah, that was one of my favorites. 10:30, we've got news headlines here. Keep the text, phone calls, and emails coming in. We'll just roll right through them, as we always get a lot of these on our Flashback Fridays. Back with more. And Michael, do you have a favorite toy?
Oh boy, put me on the spot there. Not
think
really.
About it.
When I grew up, I liked to play video games. I did that quite a bit. I wasn't really into board games a lot. We had board games and played them, but I was more into like video games and things like that. And those are kind of my main things.
Okay.
Like PlayStation. But I'll try to think of another toy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think of one by the end of the newscast.
Okay. I'm reading, yeah.
Okay, while you're reading. Yeah. All right, Michael's next with the news.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
All right, we're underway. Second half hour, Penny for Your Thoughts, Flashback Friday. We're talking about favorite games, favorite toys, growing up, as we do this on the last hour, the last Friday of the month, on this Easter weekend. Got some texts in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Says, my family played a lot of card game Pit also. I mentioned Pit earlier. Yeah, that is a great game. The more the merrier on that one, by the way. It doesn't really work with two or three people. You need to have six, seven, eight. He said, I'm from a large family. There might have been as many as eight playing at one time. What you're trading is you're trading like you're on Wall Street. If you're trying to get the corner on whatever, whether it was flax or barley or corn or soybeans or whatever, and you're all trading in a group going back and forth with each other, and you're trading, hey, I'm trading two of these to try to get two of these. And it gets wild. So if you ever get it, it's a great family game. It's called Pit, P-I-T. So I also remember playing with a slinky. We had stairs in the house for it to go down, correct? And a silly putty in the 1950s. All right, also on the list here that we've gotten in, Kick the Can, played Kick the Can. Red Rover, a lot of grade school. I remember that at the Tolono Primary. Also, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's on the list sent in. And a Holly Hobby Doll. All right, those are all on the list of games. Backgammon mentioned again. And two of my favorite games, Double Deck Pinochle and Cribbage. All right, 3569397. We're getting all the great games from the past. Back to the phones again here at 1038. Hi, Doug. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I tell you, after reading week after week after week of politicians give us their take on things, I had to call. I got a great suggestion. I think that Urbana ought to erect a statue for Laurel Prussing because she has basically decimated that city and put a lot of the merchants in a very difficult spot. Rather than try to work with Carl Clinic and keep the facility that was in the Lincoln Square offices, mm-hmm. those people are now taking everybody and moving out to, I guess, the crossing out at Curtis Road. Now, just think of the revenue that the city is going to lose on sales tax, and the merchants are going to lose in business because a significant portion of those people, you know, are no longer going to frequent those establishments. And then it was reported that a number of people want to move out to the crossing so they're closer to work. So now you have all the rent revenue, and all the property tax owners who own the apartments are no longer going to be able to fill them to the extent that they had. And I think that people who make policy and are politicians ought to be held accountable. And I think that it would be a nice idea to start with Laurel Prussing and the damage she's done to that city. And I think if the Champaign County Board fails to vote to approve the sale of the nursing home, I think we could follow that up with the people that are on the board that vote against selling the nursing home. I think their names should be put on a plaque so that everybody can look back at the history of Urbana and be able to chronologically understand exactly why the city died.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for the input. Now, I was looking for a favorite. All right, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I don't know if that classified as a toy or not. Let's go to Larry. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, I don't know who remembers, but back in the mid-60s, there was a hobby shop that had a huge slot car track in it out by the old driver's license place out at behind Zaire's when Zaire's was out there.
Hmm.
And Ben Harris owned it. He was one of the many heirs from the B.F. Harris family. But we used to go out there and race our slot cars back in the 60s, and that was a lot of fun.
Wow.
He had all kinds of parts and pieces, and you could buy slot cars and models and all kinds of things. It was out next to Channel 15.
Okay.
Back in that area.
And that was a big operation.
That was always a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
All right. Hey, thank you, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for. 356-9397. The email says my American Flyer train set that I got in 1948. Still have it and still run it sometimes. We're talking about toys and games here on our Flashback Friday. Also still have my model toys, Caterpillar D6 and Adams Motor Grader. Had a lot of fun playing with those in the dirt in the backyard. Got those in the early 50s before TV and video games. LOL. So those are some of the texts and emails we've gotten here this morning. Back to the phones on our Flashback Friday. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, good morning. Guys stole my thunder. I think that place was called Slot and Wing Hobby back then.
Oh, it was.
And had HO Racers, too, the small brothers to the slot cars.
Okay, so the similar name to the store that we have now, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you get your little track and run your little HO Racers at home, or they had tracks there at the Slot and Wing Hobby right next to Channel 15 there that you could take a buck to there.
Okay.
That was a good time.
Very good. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the phone call. Email, Steve. Play-Doh was big. There was also cereal would have little cars and trucks you could get. If you sent in the box tops, my mom would let me take the order form to the mailbox. The next day, I'd be at the mailbox waiting for my cars and trucks. I learned the meaning of wait and patience as my stuff wouldn't show up for quite a while. See, good life lessons out of all that. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. See if I've got them all here. I've got a bunch of texts and emails. Okay, I think I've run through them all. Let's go back to the phones, and I think Mike is up next. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I don't know if anybody's brought this up because I haven't caught all the program this morning, but back as a teenager, Spin the Bottle was my favorite game, and I would gather dozens of the neighborhood girls down, and we'd play Spin the Bottle.
Spin the Bottle. Yep, that was always fun. And we played Steal the Bacon, too. I don't remember that one.
No, not sure with that one. Now I just, my bottle is a Geritol bottle. So I've outgrown all that stuff.
Yeah, well, Spin the Bottle was if you were hoping to kiss somebody, right? Too?
Yes, it was, and that's why it was just a dozen girls. And yeah. They weren't allowed to spin either. I kept it all to myself.
There you go. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Brian, have a good day.
You too. Thank you. On to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't catch the second caller about the slot cars, but 1964, Country Fair was opened, and it was Hobby House. It was right there in Country Fair where CVS and all that is now.
Okay.
But it was Hobby House. They had the race cars. S.S. Kresge's had the fountain there. And also, Country Fair, when it was first put in, the sidewalks were all up and down. They were like hills. And the skateboard just come out that time, too. So we'd take our skateboards there and race slot cars. But I remember at Holy Cross out on the playground shooting marbles for money back in the late 50s, early 60s also.
Yeah.
And there was... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to just comment on marbles. That seems to be a common. I mean, marbles. I don't know how many kids play marbles at today at all. But
yeah, you know, you in the dirt, you know, out on the playground, you just draw out a circle, you know, and you'd have a shooter.
Yep.
And you know, you shoot for money. But also, there was a basketball game that we played relentlessly, and it was cardboard, and it had a ping pong, and you'd press a lever wherever the ball fell in the hole, you'd shoot it into the basket.
Hmm.
I don't remember. It was just a basketball game.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like, you know, the electric football.
Just, sure.
You know.
Similar idea.
Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still play
all
that.
All day, every day. Yeah. That's all I got.
Hey, thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Great to hear from you. How about Tiddlywinks? Played some of that. Never trying to get the bigger chip to put the little chip in that little hole. It's kind of like golf, trying to put the ball in the little hole. Bill texts in. He says, on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, I had rifles and pistols that shot plastic bullets. Also loved chemistry sets, but could never get an explosion. Okay. Back to the phones to Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning. I grew up in a very large family on the farm in Iowa, and we didn't spend a lot of money on toys, so we had to get real creative. And so my sisters and I, what we would do, we would take every year when the Sears catalogs came and whatever, well, the new one my mom would keep because she ordered a lot of stuff out of it, but when the old catalog was out of date, she gave those to us, and then we would cut, back in that time, paper dolls were the thing. I mean, you would go to the store and buy books full of paper dolls, and they would have dresses and all that that you could, they have little tabs on them, and you could dress them all up in these little, you know, whatever. Well, my parents didn't believe in spending all that money on that kind of thing, so we had to make our own paper dolls. So we just took the catalogs, and we just cut out the figures in there, and then we would make a whole family. We'd have boys and girls and moms and dads, and we'd cut out all their clothes and whatever, and we would play for hours dressing those paper dolls up and pretending like they were a family and doing this and that, you know? So, I mean, we got, and then another thing we did was we played radio by taking the vacuum cleaner hose and going around the corner, and one person would be on the radio and the other people would be in the other room, and then we would do our radio program. We would tell stories, and we would just go on and on and on, pretending like we were on the radio and we were the announcers and other
well,
people were listening.
Well, that's great. Yeah, well, you're doing it now. Yeah, you're
I mean, we didn't buy our toys. We just used our imaginations and did our own.
Yep. That's kind of what my grandma always told me, too. She said that's what they did a lot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all great. Right. Hey, thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Those are great stories. I enjoy doing radio, too, like this. 356-9397. We're at 1049. Back to the phones. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. I'm having some serious flashbacks. I think I'm about 30 years younger. It's been great. You know, the last lady who brought up the Sears catalogs, oh, my God, that was a big deal to thumb through those things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, remember the old tin cans on a string?
Yep.
Yeah, that was another one that worked. You know, it's surprising when you're a young guy. But appreciate Eric's call when it came to the Hobby Stop. You know, I grew up in one. You know, it was wonderful stuff. Still is today. And it was Ben Harris, CU Raceway, was where Channel 15 was or is.
Yep.
And it's when he went out of business. I think they doubled his rent like 3 years in a row or something, and they just pretty much forced him out of there. And that's when my dad opened up the shop in Champaign.
Oh, okay.
And we had a small slot car track. That's where slot and wing comes from. But, yeah, those were the good old days, and I appreciate all the memories. And even today, that hobby shop holds a great thing for young kids. You know, it's not only fun as all get out, but it's educational, and it's therapeutic when you get old. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, by the way, I really enjoyed Peter Fox the other day.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, he was
great interview.
He's a great guest. So.
Oh, I tell you what, George Chaplin would be my mentor when it comes to my mindset when it came to business. He was my landlord every time I rented, which was like five different locations.
Mm-hmm.
He was my landlord. I got to know him really well.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Oh, phenomenal man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We've got Paul and Todd next. We've got several texts and emails. We'll do it all right after this. We've got a short break. All right, Flashback Friday. A lot to get to here in the next 7 minutes. Real quick, Gallo Paint Miller Paint and Collision Repair, full-service repair facility. They know having a car accident's a serious matter. They have been doing this for 18 years. They have repaired over 23,000 vehicles. Hopefully you haven't needed them, but if you do need them, these are the folks to call and to contact. Gallo Miller, they know the collision repair business inside and out. You've got Dave and Bill there, Dave Miller, Bill Gallo. They're passionate about it. They've worked every side of this, the adjusting side, the insurance, the body shop part, I mean, all of it. So give them the keys when you have an accident. Contact them. Go to gallomiller.com. They're on the south side of I-74 between Neal Street and Prospect. Gallo Miller, one of our sponsors. On Penny for your thoughts. From Ben, he says the board game, Electric Football, Tyco Electric Train, College Football, and Madden Football on PlayStation 2 were his favorite games. We got a text from Mike. He says, I love the Flashback Fridays. I grew up in the 80s in the country with no neighboring kids. I put hundreds of miles on my Tonka trucks. Love them so much, I made it an occupation. I'm a heavy equipment operator. Well, thank you, Mike. Kevin, about the basketball game, played with a ping pong ball rolling around on the undulating cardboard floor until it settled over a hole for a shot. The game was called Basket, with a round basketball symbol between the syllables. 356-9397, the lines are full. Let's get to Paul here at 1054. Hi, Paul.
Good Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
There's a lot of was said about the hobby shop over the old Channel 15 news. I used to go there all the time and race my cars. And I was in there one morning, and there wasn't too many of us in there. Anyway, I'm racing my HO cars, and the owner of that business was good friends with Barry Goldwater. And I got to meet Barry Goldwater there racing my HO cars. I thought it was really cool.
Barry Goldwater.
Yes, and another thing that I had immense fun with growing up, we used to make our own rubber band guns and just kill each other with rubber bands. So that was another thing.
Rubber bands, yeah, those could this could be dangerous.
Yeah, it was, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, fun but dangerous, yes.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks for the call, Paul. Next up is Todd. Good morning, Todd.
Well, good morning, Brian. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. I know you know my brother Rick Shell real well.
Yes.
And I'm heading into town as we speak to hook up with him and get ready for our summer baseball draft tomorrow and go over and watch the Illini Iowa game baseball game later today. So got a full couple days.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But anyway, my favorites growing up were Matchbox trucks and cars, and I've had them. I still have them today. A lot of them go back to the early 60s, but played with those things for years. And HO train set, and probably my brother and ours favorite of all time, though, is the tabletop hockey game. And we were... The game we had the players that you could actually put the plastic stick in so you could shoot the puck better instead of the players that were just all stamped out one-piece metal.
Oh, and, yeah. And we had the one where you had the, you know, the players were in the slots, you know,
right.
and you had to switch, you know, like you had to switch hands all the time, you know, switch from one rod to the other to make the hockey puck move.
Right, yeah. And we played with that thing so much we actually would take the plastic puck and put it in the freezer, like they did with the regular rubber pucks in hockey. But we played with that thing. We still have it. It's up in the attic of the garage at my mom's house. So those were great days.
Yes, but they were. They.
I know you're up against the time here, so. Let you get to another caller, but keep up doing the great work. I listen to you do the basketball and football games up in the Chicago area, and you guys do a great job up there, so keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
All right, we've got Don and Ron, and that's probably all we're going to have time for. Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Going way back, I'm an old geezer, Ryan, but before World War II, we could make our own little lead soldiers and paint them and play, you know, soldiers in war and stuff. The war broke out, and they asked to turn in all the lead materials or whatever, iron. And I can remember giving those lead soldiers to the war effort, but I don't think they make those anymore. But that was big when I was a kid, having pickup sticks.
All right. Hey, thank you, Don.
Sure, okay.
Great to hear from you. And Ron here with about a minute left. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Brian, how can we overlook Erector Set?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I tell you, my brother and I learned mechanical reasoning, engineering skills and such, building bridges and cranes and everything with, you know, they even had electric motors in them. So, I mean, you could be as inventive as your imagination would allow. And it's a kind of knowledge that has lasted a lifetime.
Yep. Well, there's the imagination, I think, is the big thing. I mean, that just stays with you. So.
Did you ever have one?
Erector set? I don't know. Don't think I did.
Yeah.
But I know what they were.
You would remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would remember it if you did, because especially with you being on a farm, you saw so much of that in application around the farm.
Thank you, Ron.
So anyway, thanks for the opportunity. Bye.
You bet. Michael, real quick, give me a couple here.
I had Lincoln Logs, Erector Sets as well, things like that. That's pretty much what I had. The trucks, John Deere tractors, things like that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you to Ed Bond for helping us with the show today, as always. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for your input. Have a great weekend. That's been our Flashback Friday. We'll talk to you Monday. WDWS.